This morning for St. Michael and all angels, I'm proclaiming the word of God from two texts, Mark 8:38 and Matthew 18:10, and I'll be reading these texts out as part of the sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word to us, unite us in communion also with the angels, so that we may with them eternally sing your praise with joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As part of our service, we'll be confessing our faith later in the words of the Nicene Creed. And we'll confess these words. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. As Christian people, we confess that God is the creator of all, the things that we perceive through our senses, but also those things which are beyond our experience, our sensory experience. And part of that realm is the angelic realm. So today, as part of this sermon, we'll be considering those things which we do not see and listening to what God's word has to say about them. Now, I think it's reasonable to ask. There's a lot that we can see and a lot of difficulties and problems in the world that we can see. Do we actually need to spend time thinking about the unseen world? Well, just a couple of things on that before we get into our sermon proper. It seems to me, and you can differ with me here, that's fine, that in fact part of human existence is shaping our lives towards those things which you cannot see, whether we are people of faith or whether we are not. Think, for example, in our world, in the secular realm, about human rights. There's a lot of talk in our society about human rights, but can we see them? Do they exist anywhere in particular? Can you examine them using your senses? We can indeed see how particular human beings are treated well or badly, but the notion of human rights, the concept, it seems to me at least, is not perceivable through the senses, and yet we have our lives shaped by this. I think also about a marriage, and there's one here yesterday. It always strikes me that at a marriage, people are taking seriously that which they cannot yet see, and that is the future. They promise to be faithful, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, what the future will bring, which is not yet known. And young couples shape their lives according to these promises, promises and things yet they do not see. Now you can take or leave those as examples, because that's not at the heart of why we're celebrating St. Michael and All Angels today. I think just worth thinking about. We celebrate this festival because the Gospels take angels seriously, and indeed our Lord Jesus Christ does. So know that we're going to hear teaching today that comes from Jesus' own lips about the angels, and therefore is worth us considering, even if it's not a subject that we'd normally spend much time contemplating. In the Gospels, it's just worth taking note here, the angels are mentioned again and again with the life of Jesus. At the children's address, I drew attention to the fact that in the Gospels we have an angel announcing the conception of Jesus. There are angels also announcing the birth of Jesus, and in fact, we take this angelic song up whenever we sing Glory to God in the Highest. Angels are with Jesus in his temptation in the desert. They're with him also in their own way in his childhood. They're with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They announce, evangelize, his resurrection and his ascension. This is what we have reported to us, the ministry of angels, the messengers of God in the Gospels. But then we have teaching that comes from the lips of Jesus himself. Let's hear the first one today, Mark 8:38. Jesus said, "Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now this teaching we get from Jesus comes out of the great confession of faith by Peter. Jesus asks that central question of the Gospels, who do you say that I am? The central question, it seems to me, that all of us face as human beings. Who do we say that Jesus is? St. Peter makes the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's affirmed in this by Jesus. But then we have these words. Are we going to be ashamed of Jesus or not? If people challenge us regarding our allegiance, will we say that indeed we do belong to him, or will we reject him? But in this, Jesus brings up the holy angels. I read again, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Why would Jesus need to bring up the angels there at all? Now, the text doesn't explicitly say why, but I'll present one path of interpretation for you today on this matter. As human beings, we are always shaped by our community, and indeed, generally, by the human community. Look at how we've dressed here today. We've all dressed in a way which is appropriate to our era, to our country, and to coming to church at 9 o'clock in the morning. Imagine someone coming here today wearing clothes from the 1700s. They would stand out a great deal, would they not? Or imagine if someone came here this morning in their swimming outfit. We would take notice, would we not? We shape how we dress by the expectations of the human community. It's natural, normal, and I'd say, even generally speaking, good that we do so. We do it with how we dress, with how we speak also, what words we choose to use with others, and even with the attitudes which we find acceptable to think about and to profess. I think you get this if you go online to something like Facebook. What can or can't you say there? What is acceptable in the human community here and now? We are all shaped by these things. It's a natural part of human life. But we can think, because of our experience, that the human community is the only community that matters. And we can think that being ashamed in front of the human community is the worst sort of shame to face. But Jesus reminds us that this is not the case. There is a greater community, the community of God and the holy angels. Do we want to be ashamed in front of the holy angels, in front of that community? Do we want to behave and speak in a way which would not be acceptable in that community? I think this is the question that Jesus raises through this teaching and the encouragement that he gives. Listening to this teaching, taking it on board, to my mind, gives us courage when we face opposition in the human community. It lets us know that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, also the angelic community, and that we indeed belong to this community, that we are not outside it, but by virtue of our baptism in Christ, are included in it. By God's grace in Christ Jesus, by our baptism into Christ, we are part of this heavenly community which comes to us as a gift. So let's remember this. Remember that we are part of God's greater community of holy ones through Christ Jesus. Jesus gives us these words now in Matthew 18, reminding us of the unity between the angelic community and the Christian church. He says these words to his disciples. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. Now these words of Jesus give us the basis of guardian angel teaching in the church. You may have seen depictions of guardian angels. You know, the little children crossing the bridge, the guardian angel there. These are artistic impressions, you could say. But the scriptural background for such pictures comes from words that are recorded for us here in Matthew 18, words that come from Jesus. Now, they're spoken primarily to people with authority, with power. People who have strength, power and authority in the human community
are often tempted to abuse those who are further down, to abuse the little ones, because they seem as if they have no power, no recourse to justice, that if they're abused, nothing bad will happen. The authority of the powerful will remain. But Jesus warns against this attitude. These little ones have angels who see the face of the Father in heaven. It seems something like this is going on. There are those front rank of angels, if you like, the front row who see the very face of God. And it's these highest angels that are sent by the Father to guard and protect the little ones. So if you are in a position of power and you abuse little ones, be warned. Your war is not with the little ones, but with those who guard them. You will be opposed by God and his angels. So I think, first of all, this is a warning from our Lord Jesus to those in authority not to abuse the little ones. Angels comes into this teaching. But I think there's also encouragement for us here, all of us in the life of faith, especially in our weakness, that we are not alone, that God sends guardian angels to us to guard and protect us in our way. You know, we have this understanding recorded for us in our small catechism, the morning and evening prayers. Both end this way: "Send your holy angel to be with me, so that the devil will have no power over me." We ask our Heavenly Father for guidance and protection of the guardian angel. It's a simple prayer, but takes Jesus and his teaching seriously. I think there's a bit more to it than this as well. The very fact that God would send angels to us suggests something about the role of human beings in God's economy. During the week, I read these words from the Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard. Listen to what he has to say. "Because our nature is raised in Christ, our human nature is raised in Christ above all angels and archangels, therefore the angels do not refuse to serve us human beings in honour of the human nature assumed by Christ." Now, here we have some theological opinion, but the idea is this: that in the great chain of being, angels are far above us and would not normally serve us. We would normally have to serve them. But Christ Jesus took on our human nature and therefore exalted our human nature. So there's nothing inappropriate about angels serving also human beings. Gerhard goes on to say this: "As an entire race is brought to honour by marriage, so that marriage of the Son of God with humanity has restored the human race to honour." Now, I think this may be a bit harder for us as modern people to understand, but think about this. Princess Mary, she will one day be Queen of Denmark, right? But she was born in Australia. She's an Australian. If you like, this gives Australia and Denmark a special relationship. Well, in the pre-modern world, this is quite normal for marriages between families to raise different groups of people into a unity which didn't before exist. That's a modern example which you can take or leave. But the idea here is the marriage of Christ and his bride, the Church, exalts the bride. Gerhard goes on to say these words: "What wonder then that angels serve us, since the Son of God, the Lord of angels, came to earth that he might serve us." Now we get to the heart of this teaching. That is that Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, came to serve us. Where Jesus is, there the holy angels are. Where Jesus is in his saving power, also there we are by faith. And we see this in our church, in our services, also week by week. Soon in this service, we will be joining in with angels and archangels as we sing the words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory." And we sing these words as we acknowledge the presence of our Lord Jesus, his body and blood given and shed for us in the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not stand aloof from us, but comes to serve us in this way, to forgive our sins, to join us in unity in love with each other. And because he is there, in his divine service to us, he also shows us that we are joined in this greater community with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. Our unity, in other words, is in Christ, in his service to us and his great love for us. As Christian people, we believe that God created all that there is. Yes, the things that we can see, but also those unseen things, the reality of which shapes indeed our lives. So today we give thanks to God for the ministry of holy angels who are with us as we receive the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to us.